As a matter of fact, those people who have carefully studied the condition of life and the world pass their days if they know that they are travelers who have to leave a place which is famine stricken, unhealthy and congenial, and they have to proceed towards lands which are fertile, congenial, and where there is abundant provision of all comforts and pleasures. They have eagerly taken up the journey, happy in the hope of future blessings and peace. They have willingly accepted the sufferings, troubles and hazards of the way, parting of friends, scarcity of food and comfort during the pilgrimage, so that they may reach the journey's end, a happy place. They do not refuse to bear any discomfort and do not grudge any expenditure by way of giving our alms and charities and helping the poor and the needy. Every step which they put forward towards their goal, however tiring and exhausting it may be, is a happy event of their lives. On the contrary, the condition of those people who are solely engrossed in this world and are sadly engulfed in its short-lived, quickly fading and vicious pleasures is like that of travelers who are staying in fertile and happy regions and who have to undertake a journey, knowing fully well that the journey is going to end in rough, arid and unfertile land. Can anything be more loathsome and abhorring to them than this journey? How they would hate to leave the place where they are and to arrive at the place which they so much hate and which is so dismaying, dreadful and horrifying. My dear son, so far as your behavior towards other human beings is concerned, let yourself act as scales to help you judge its goodness or wickedness. Do unto others as you wish others to do unto you. Whatever you like for yourself, like for others, and whatever you dislike to happen to you, spare others from such happenings. Do not oppress and tyrannize anybody, because you surely do not like to be oppressed and tyrannized. Be kind and sympathetic to others, as you certainly desire others to treat you kindly and sympathetically. If you find objectionable and loathsome habits in others, abstain from developing those traits of character in yourself. If you are satisfied or feel happy in receiving a certain kind of behavior from others, you may behave towards others exactly in the same way. Do not speak about them in the way that you do not like others to speak about you. Do not speak on subjects about which you know little or nothing. And if you at all want to speak on anything or about anyone of whom you are fully aware, then avoid scandal, libel and aspersion, as you do not like yourself to be scandalized and scorned in the same manner. Remember, son, that vanity and conceit are forms of folly. These traits will bring to you serious harm and will be a constant source of danger to you. Therefore, lead a well-balanced life, neither be conceited nor suffer from inferiority complex, and exert yourself to earn an honest living. But do not act like a treasure for somebody. Do not be miser, so that what you earn and hoard, you leave it for others. And whenever you receive guidance of the Lord to achieve the thing you desire, then do not get proud of your achievement, but be humble and submissive to him, and realize that your success was due to his mercy. Remember, my son, that before you is a long and arduous journey, life. The journey is not only very long, exhausting and onerous, but the route is mostly through dismal, dreary and deserted regions, where you will be sadly in need of refreshing, renovating and enlivening aids and helps. And you cannot dispense with such provisions as keep you going and maintain you till the end of your journey, the day of judgment. But remember that you do not overload yourself. Do not entrust yourself with so many obligations and duties that you cannot honorably fulfill them, or with such luxurious life as to be wicked and vicious. Because if this load is more than what you can conveniently bear, then your journey will be very painful and tiresome to you. If you find around yourself such poor, needy, and destitute people as are willing to carry your load for you as far as the day of judgment, then consider this to be a boon. Engage them and pass your burden on to them. Distribute your wealth amongst the poor, destitutes, and the needy. Help others to the best of your ability and be kind and sympathetic to human beings. Thus, relieve yourself from the heavy responsibility and liability of submitting an account on the day of judgment of how you have made use of his bounties, of health, wealth, power, and position. And thus, you may arrive at the end of your journey light and fresh. Have enough provision for you there. Reward for having done your duty to man and Allah in this world. Have as many way carriers as you can. Help as many people as you can, so that you may not miss them when you very badly need them. When your sins of commission and omission will be balanced against your good deeds, you must have enough good deeds to turn the scale in your favor. Remember that all you give out in charities and good deeds are like loans which will be paid back to you. Therefore, when you are wealthy and powerful, make use of your wealth and power in such a way that you get all that back on the day of judgment, when you will be poor and helpless. Be it known to you, my son, that your passage lies through an appallingly dreadful valley, death or grave, an extremely trying and arduous journey. Here, a man with light weight is far better than an overburdened person, and one who can travel fast will pass through it quickly than one whose encumbering forces go slowly. You shall have to pass through this valley. The only way out of it is either in paradise or in hell. Therefore, it is wise to send your things there beforehand, so that they, good deeds, reach there before you. Prearrange for the place of your stay before you reach there, because after death, there is no repentance and no possibility of coming back to this world to undo the wrong done by you. Realize this truth, my son, that the Lord, who owns and holds the treasures of paradise and the earth, has given you permission to ask and beg for them, and he has promised to grant your prayers. He has told you to pray for his favors, that they may be granted to you, and to ask for his blessings, that they may be bestowed upon you. He has not appointed guards to prevent your prayers reaching him, nor there is any need for anybody to intercede before him on your behalf. If you go back upon your promises, if you break your vows, or start doing things that you have repented of, he will not immediately punish you, nor does he refuse you his blessings in haste. And if you repent once again, he neither taunts you nor betrays you, though you may fully deserve both. But he accepts your patience and pardons you. He never grudges his forgiveness nor refuses his mercy. On the contrary, he has decreed repentance as a virtue and pious deed. The merciful Lord has ordered that every evil deed of yours will be counted as one, and good deed and pious action will be rewarded tenfold. He has left the door of repentance open. He hears you whenever you call him. He accepts your prayers whenever you pray to him. Invoke him to grant you your heart's desires. Lay before him the secrets of your heart. Tell him about all the calamities that have fallen you and misfortunes which face you, and beseech his help to overcome them. You may invoke his help and support in difficulties and distress. You may implore him to grant you long life and sound health. You may pray to him for prosperity, and you may request him for such favors and grants that none but he can bestow and award. Think over it, that by simply granting you the privilege of praying for his favors and mercies, he has handed over the keys of his treasures to you. Whenever you are in need, you should pray, and he will confer his bounties and blessings. But sometimes you find that your requests are not immediately granted. Then you need not to be disappointed, because the grant of prayers often rests with the true purpose and intention of the implorer. Sometimes the prayer are delayed because the merciful Lord wants you to receive further rewards patiently, bearing calamities and sufferings, and still to believe sincerely in his help. Thus you may be awarded better favors than you requested for. Sometimes your prayers are turned down, and this is also in your interest, because you often unknowingly ask for things that are really harmful to you. If your requests are granted, they will do you more harm than good. And many of your requests may be such that if they are granted, they will result in your eternal damnation. Thus the refusal to accede to your solicitations is a blessing in disguise to you. But very often your requests, if they are not really harmful to you for this world or for the life in the hereafter, may be delayed, but they are granted in quantities much more than you had asked for, bringing in more blessings in their wake than you could ever imagine. So you should be very careful in asking Allah for his favors. Only pray for such things as are really beneficial to you and are lasting, and in the long run do not end in harm. Remember, my dear son, that wealth and power, if you pray for them, are such things that they will not always be with you and may bring harm to you in the life in the hereafter. Be it known to you, my son, that you are created for the next world and not for this. You are born to die and not to live forever. Your stay in this world is transient. You live in a place which is subject to decay and destruction. It is a place where you will have to be busy getting ready for the next world. It is a road to the next world on which you are standing. Death is following you. You cannot run away from it. However hard you may try to avoid it, it is going to catch you sooner or later. Therefore, take care that it may not catch you unawares, or when you are not prepared for it. And no chance is left to you to repent the vices and sins committed and to undo the harm done by you. If death catches you unawares, then you are eternally damned. Therefore, my dear son, always keep three things in mind: death, your deeds, and the life in the hereafter. In this way, you will always be ready to face death, and it will not catch you unawares. My dear son, do not be carried away and be allured by the infatuation of the worldly people in vicious life and its pleasures. And do not be impressed by the sight of their acute struggle to possess and own this world. Allah has very mercifully explained to you everything about this world. Not only the merciful Lord, but this world has also told you everything. It has disclosed to you that it is mortal. It has openly declared its weakness, its shortcomings, and its vices. Remember that these worldly-minded people are the barking dogs and the hungry and ferocious beasts. Some of them are constantly barking at others. Their mighty lords kill and massacre the poor and the weak. Their powerful persons exploit and tyrannize the powerless. Their inordinate desires and their greed have such a complete hold over them that you will find some of them like animals tamed and tied with a rope round their feet and necks. They have lost freedom of thought and cannot come out of the enslavement of desires and habits. While there are others whom wealth and power have turned mad, they behave like untruly beasts, trampling, crushing, and killing their fellow beings and destroying things around them. History of this world is merely a reward of such incidents, some big and some small. The difference is of might, but the intensity is the same. These people have lost balance of their minds. They do not know what they are doing and where they are going. Scan their activities and study their ways of thinking, and you will find them confused and irrational. They appear like cattle wandering in a dreary desert where there is no water to drink, no fodder to eat, no shepherd to cater for them, and no guardian to look after them. What has actually happened to them is that the vicious world has taken possession of them. It is dragging them wherever it likes, and it is treating them as if they are blind, because it has in reality blindfolded them against divine light of true religion. They are wandering without reasonable aims and sober purposes in the bewitching show that the world has staged for them. They are fully intoxicated with the pleasures amassed around them. They take this world to be their god and nourisher. The world is amusing them, and they are amused with it, and have forgotten and forsaken everything else. But the nights of enjoyments and pleasures will not last long for anybody. The dawn of realities will break sooner or later. The caravan of life will surely reach its destination one day. One who has nights and days acting as piebald horse for him, carrying him onward and onward towards his journey's end, must remember that though he may feel as if he is stopping at one place, yet actually he is moving on. He is proceeding to his destination. Every day is carrying him a step further in his journey towards death. Be it known to you, my son, that you cannot have every wish of yours granted. You cannot expect to escape death, and you are passing through your days of life as others before you have passed. Therefore, control your expectations, desires, and cravings. Be moderate in your demands. Earn your livelihood through scrupulously honest means. Be contented with what you get honestly and honorably. Have patience and do not let your desires drive you madly, because there are many desires which will lead you towards disappointments and loss. Remember that every beggar or everyone who prays for a thing will not always get what he begs or prays for. And everyone who controls his desires, has self-respect, and does not beg or pray for things, will not always remain unlucky or disappointed. So do not bring down your self-respect. Do not be mean and submissive, and do not subjugate yourself through these vile and base traits. Though they may appear to make it possible for you to secure your heart's desires, because nothing in this world can compensate for the loss of self-respect, nobility, and honor. Take care, my son. Be warned that you do not make yourself slave of anybody. Allah has created you a free man. Do not sell away your freedom in return of anything. There is no actual gain and real value in benefits that you derive by selling your honor and self-respect, or by subjugating yourself to disgrace and insults, as there is no real good in wealth and power that you acquire by foul means. Beware, my son, that avarice and greed may not drive you towards destruction and damnation. If you can succeed in having nobody as your benefactor but Allah, then try your best to achieve this nobility, because He will grant you your share. Whether you try to haunt your donors, patrons, and benefactors or not, remember that the little which is given to you by Allah is going to be more useful and serviceable to you, and is more honorable and respectable than what is granted by man in abundance. And what can a man give you but part of that which Allah has granted him? The losses that you suffer on account of your silence can be easily compensated, but the losses which arise out of excessive and loose talk are difficult to requite. Do you not see that the best way of guarding water in a water bay is to close its mouth? To guard what you already possess is better than to beg from others. The bitterness of disappointment and poverty is in reality sweeter than the disgrace of begging. Returns of heart but respectable labor of a craft or profession, though small in quantity, are better than the wealth which you may amass through sin and wickedness. Nobody can guard your secrets better than you. Often a man tries his best to acquire a thing which is most harmful to him. One who talks too much makes most mistakes. One who often reflects develops his foresight. By keeping company with good people, you will develop your character, and by avoiding the society of wicked persons, you will abstain from wickedness. Livelihood acquired by foul means is the worst form of livelihood. To oppress a weak and helpless person is the worst form of ferocity. If your kindness or indulgence is going to bring forth cruel results, then severity or strictness is the real kindness. Often medicating results in disease. Sometimes disease proves to be health preservers. Often you obtain warnings and advice from people who are not fit to warn and advise you, but often you come across advisors who are not sincere. Do not rely on vain hopes, because vain hopes are assets of fools and idiots. Wisdom is the name of the trait of remembering experiences and making use of them. The best experience is the one which gives the best warning and advice. Take advantage of opportunities before they turn their backs on you. Make hay while the sun shines. Everyone who tries cannot succeed. Everyone who departs from this life will not return. The worst form of folly is to waste opportunities of this life as well as to lose salvation. For every action, there is a reaction. Shortly, you will get what has been destined for you. There is an element of risk and speculation in every trade as well as danger of loss. Often small returns prove as beneficial as big profits. An accessory of an accomplice who insults you and a friend who has not formed a good opinion of you will not be of any help or use to you. Treat those with consideration and kindness over whom you have power and authority. Do not run the risk of endangering yourself through irrational, unreasonable, and extravagant hopes. Take care so as not to be fooled by flattery. Do good to your brother when he is bent upon doing harm to you. When he ignores or declines to recognize the kinship, befriend him. Go to his help and try to maintain relations. If he is miserly with you and refuses to help you, be generous to him and support him financially. If he is cruel to you, be kind and considerate to him. If he harms you, accept his excuses. Behave towards him as if he is a master and you are a slave, and he is a benefactor and you are a beneficiary. But be careful that you do not thus behave towards undeserving and mean persons. Do not develop friendship with the enemy of your friend, otherwise your friend will turn into your enemy. Advise your friend sincerely and to the best of your ability, even though he may not like it. Keep a complete control over your temper and anger, because I never found anything more beneficial at the end and producing more good results than such a control. Be mild, pleasant, and lenient with him who is harsh, gross, and strict with you. Gradually, he will turn to your way of behavior. Grant favor and be considerate to your enemy, because you will thus gain either one or the other of the two kinds of victories: one rising above your enemy, the other of reducing intensity of his hostility. If you want to cease relations with your friend, then do not break off totally. Let your heart retain some consideration for him, so that you still have some regard for him if he comes back to you. Do not disappoint a person who holds a good opinion of you, and do not make him change his opinion. Under the impression that you, as a friend, can behave as you like, do not violate the rights of your friend, because when he is deprived of his rights and privileges, he will no more remain your friend. Do not ill-treat members of your family, and do not behave towards them as if you are the most cruel man alive. Do not run after him who tries to avoid you. The greatest achievement of your character is that the hostility of your brother against you does not overcome the consideration and friendship you feel towards him, and his ill-treatment with you does not overbalance your kind treatment to him. Do not get worried and depressed over the oppressions, because whoever oppresses you is in reality doing himself a harm and is trying to find ways for your good. Never ill-treat a person who had done good to you. Know it well, son, that there are two kinds of livelihood: one which you are searching for, and the other which follows you, which has been destined for you. It will reach you, even if you do not try to obtain it. To be submissive, humble, crawling, and begging when one is needy, powerless, and poor, and to be arrogant, oppressing, and cruel when in power and opulence are two very ugly traits of human character. Nothing in this world is really useful to you unless it has some utility and value for you for the next world. If you at all want to lament over things which you have lost in this world, then worry about the loss of things which had immortal values for you. The past and almost all that was in your possession during the past is not with you now. You may thus rationally come to the conclusion that the present and all that is in your possession now will also leave you. Do not be like persons on whom advice has no effect. They require punishment to improve them. A sensible man acquires education and culture through advice, while brutes and beasts always improve through punishment. Overcome your sorrows, your worries, and your misfortunes with patience and faith in the merciful Lord, and your hard work. One who gives up a straight path, honest and rational ways of thinking and working, will harm himself. A friend is like a relation, and a true friend is one who speaks well of you even behind your back. Inordinate desires are related with misfortunes. Often close relations behave more distantly than strangers, and often strangers help you more than your nearest relatives. Poor is he who has no friends. Whoever forsakes truth finds that his path of life has become narrow and troublesome. Contentment and honesty are the lasting assets to retain one's prestige and position. Strongest relation is the one which is between man and Allah. One who does not care for you is your enemy. If there is a danger of death or destruction in securing an object, then safety lies in avoiding it. Weakness and shortcomings are not the things to talk about. Opportunities do not repeat themselves. Sometimes very wise and learned persons fail to achieve the object they were aiming at, and foolish and uneducated people attain their purposes. Postpone evil deeds as long as possible, because you can commit them whenever you so desire. Then, why hurry in committing them?